fearing fear, fearing fear. There's a siren screaming in my ear. Election days are colder when pushing from the rear is fear, fearing fear, fearing fear.
Hello, this is Blaise Bompain with World Focus, produced by the Office of the Americas, coming to you from KPFK Los Angeles. We're podcast and available 24/7 at KPFK, where we're heard internationally. Well, today I'm very privileged to have Father Roy Bourgeois as my guest. He served as a Maryknoll priest, and then in 1980, he became involved in issues surrounding U.S. policy in El Salvador after four U.S. church women, two of them friends of his, were raped and killed by Salvadoran soldiers. Roy became an outspoken critic of U.S. foreign policy in Latin America. Since then, he spent over 4 years in U.S. federal prisons for nonviolent protests against the training of Latin American soldiers at Fort Benning, Georgia. He's the founder of School of the Americas Watch. Welcome, Father Roy Bourgeois.
It's good to be with you, Blaise.
Well, it's my pleasure, and we have to offer today one of your latest books, which is called My Journey from Silence to Solidarity. We're very happy about that book because it's something of an autobiography, is it not?
It is, yes.
And it explains how you were a priest and you were with Maryknoll for 40 years. And that you're such a bad boy, just like Father Berrigan and his brother Phil and Berrigan and Dan Berrigan and so many other great people who have been in religious life and done wonderful things. So how is it that that you get kicked out?
Well, first I want to say, you know, like your own journey and most of us, you know, there are experiences in life who change us along with people.
Indeed.
Who really stretch us. And but you know, coming up, you know, growing up in a small town in Louisiana, I didn't question U.S. foreign policy or church teachings. And after college, volunteered for shore duty in Vietnam, spent 4 years as a young naval officer and went to Vietnam on shore duty for a year. Where I was wounded, but really saw the suffering and death of so many there, that was a turning point in my life. And it was there that I started feeling this call to be a priest and talk to this army chaplain about missionary work. And he recommended the Maryknoll Order that you know very well. And I said, Mary who? I'd never heard of that group. And he said, they work with the poorest of the poor in 25 countries around the world, like Guatemala, El Salvador, Latin America, Africa. Well, anyways, I signed up and really spent 40 years with Maryknoll and found really the hope, the joy, the meaning in life that I was seeking. And again, but I was always very conscious of how Vietnam and that missionary I met working at this orphanage was a turning point in my life. And it really inspired me. But then it was the people of Latin America. After I was ordained, I was sent, Maryknoll sent me to serve the poor in El Salvador. At that time, you were in Guatemala. And but in Bolivia, actually, for 5 years, where I was first assigned, the poor there became my teachers. They really introduced to me their struggle. The U.S.
Well,
was supporting.
You were there under the dictatorship of Banzar, and you got yourself arrested in Bolivia, didn't you?
Exactly, under the dictatorship of Banzar, and then came back and became very involved, as so many in El Salvador. It was right after Bishop Oscar Romero was assassinated. The four church women who were friends of ours were raped and killed, and that brought us to El Salvador. And what we found there was, once again, our country, the U.S., giving guns and training to those doing the killing. I'd never seen anything like El Salvador, Blaise. It reminded me of Vietnam, except it was more brutal. It was worse there. No impunity. I mean, these guys were brutal. And what we saw, of course, was our tax money being put to work. It was all being done in our name. So I came back and with others started to protest and our first protest was on Fort Benning playing the last sermon of Bishop Oscar Romero to the Salvadoran soldiers who had just arrived at Fort Benning, Georgia to start training. And we blasted Bishop Romero's last words when he said to the military there, stop the killing, lay down your weapons.
And, Brent, can you imagine? The Salvadoran troops are in the barracks at Fort Benning, Georgia. Father Roy is in the tree with a boom box, and he releases the sermon of Oscar Romero, of Archbishop Oscar Romero, telling the troops, I beg you, I implore you, I order you to stop the oppression. And that's coming down from the heavens into the barracks, and the troops are slightly terrified. So that was an awful thing for you to do, wasn't it, Roy?
Well, we saw it as a sacred moment, you know, Blaze, but they didn't quite see it that way. The military, the trainers, they came out of the barracks with their M16s and their German Shepherds and their orders down, or they were going to shoot us down from the tree. And I, my friend, Larry Rosebaum, an oblate priest who was later killed in Guatemala,
yeah,
in Ventimiglia, of course, we came down, it was worked over. The FBI was brought in, we were questioned, brought to trial, and sent to prison for a year and a half. And I got to tell you, no regrets. It was all about solidarity, as you know.
Well, Roy, this book is going to tell people about that. It's called My Journey from Silence to Solidarity, and we're offering it today as a premium here at KPFK for a contribution of $50. If you would be kind enough to call 818-985-5735. Roy, there's a newspaper I respect very much, and it's called the National Catholic Reporter. It has dedicated itself to honest-to-God journalism. It has uncovered many problems within the church, and it is, in recent weeks, it had a headline that really blew me away. It said, Catholic voters chose Donald Trump. Would you care to comment on that headline?
No, that made me very sad, very angry. But I have to tell you, like so many, I have become a critic of the Catholic Church. I mean, it took me a while to wake up to U.S. foreign policy and what it was doing to so many people around the world, how much suffering and death it was causing. And I started to see the same thing happening in my church, the Catholic Church. I think the starting point, of course, is that the Catholic Church is a patriarchy. You know, it's dominated by men. And when I started to question the patriarchy and call for the ordination of women, you know, gender equality, I was warned, and of course it led to being expelled from the priesthood after 40 years. But what I got to see was how really our greatest enemy in the church is ignorance. And how we become, I think it's also about fear, this all-male clerical culture, the all-boys club. We have become addicted to power. We see women as a threat to that power. And, of course, the fear is there. Speaking out will really put at risk our power and our privileges and status. I took that risk, was kicked out. It was very difficult, but it gave me a glimpse of really what others have gone through on a much deeper level because of their race, gender, and sexual orientation. But that glimpse, Blaze, has given me enough to keep wanting to struggle for equality. And the greatest, I must say, again, coming back to your question, a lot of Catholics have been brainwashed in a way many seems like they belong to a cult. They see one issue. It's abortion, and as for equality issues, peace, justice, as for racism, sexism, homophobia, and the suffering that the Catholic Church is causing through its teachings, they could care less. And they voted for this madman, Trump. And we are in big trouble, Blaze. We are in big trouble.
Yeah, this throws the guilt to the individual. You see, the person choosing not to give birth is the offender, the sinner. Ever since the 4th century, the church has been focusing attention on the evils of its members and has been protecting institutions, especially the state. We don't make abortion is a reserved sin. Now, using an atom bomb is not a reserved sin. Mass murder of civilians by napalm is not a reserved sin. War is not a reserved sin because the church accommodated itself to the state under the empire of Constantine. And then St. Augustine gave us the concept of the just war, so that every imperial war of Christendom seemed to be a just war. It was called a just war because people were afraid to say anything else. They might get burned at the stake. So the great wars of the 19th and 20th and 21st centuries are attributed to patriotism, which is a false patriotism, which our forefathers called the last refuge of scoundrels. And churches could lose their tax exemptions if they spoke out about the evils of the state. So they rather try to speak out about the alleged evils of their members, women. And this is a medical, psychological problem that is to be dealt with by women and their physicians. And it should not be the area for people who have little or no training, either in medicine or psychology or what women are going through. Anyway, I was really shocked by that headline to realize that there were bishops who actually were promoting voting for Trump for this reason. But we have our work cut out for us now because, Roy, we have some of the worst appointments ever made for a cabinet.
Exactly.
We have to deal with that in spite of the fact that the church may remain silent. We have Mad Dog James Mattis, a war criminal, has been going to be allegedly the head of the so-called Defense Department. He was responsible for the massacre of Fallujah, which gave us, I think ISIS was born in Fallujah. And he was very much part of it. He referred to, he had the name Mad Dog because he showed callous disregard for human life and leading the Marines in Iraq. And he used some very ugly phrases about killing people. Be polite, be professional, but have a plan to kill everybody you meet. So this is an example of the kind of appointments that are being made, and it's up to us to see that this doesn't happen. Any thoughts?
I hear you, Blaise. I think I'm always, like you and others, looking for hope. And I have to tell you, I believe that what's going to happen here is a whole new generation of resistors, of peacemakers will be born, especially
Amen.
Young people and others. I mean, it's going to get so challenging. I mean, we will see more clearly, you know, the cruelty of it all and the madness of it all. And I think it will bring more people into this struggle for peace, justice, and equality, not only in of course, in the political world, but also in this so-called spiritual world, the so-called churches around the country, in specific the Catholic Church. I hope, a lot of hope that I'm finding today is not coming from the long-time, you know, cradle Catholics. It's harder for older people to change. There are exceptions, of course, but young people really are not buying into the teachings of the church. Just see it for what it is. It's sexist, it's racist, it's homophobic. And what they're doing, of course, is not, you know, I mean, the churches are empty of young people. When I entered Marino 46 years ago, there were over 300 seminarians. Today, they have 8. We have 3 seminaries. They have the major seminary has become a retirement home. The median age, 78 years old. If the Catholic Church does not change and start talking about peace, justice, and equality, ordaining women and having a married priesthood, it will go the way of the dinosaurs. It will die.
Well, Roy, you
I
said
change
that
will
well
have
to
come.
The Pope. I have your letter to Pope Francis, and you had thought that perhaps after Pope Benedict that he might make that change. And you said, now I know better. And in canon law, there are two things required for ordination. They use the two Latin words, mas baptizatus, a baptized male. Now, how about transgenders? What happens there? Have they dealt with that? Not quite, I guess. If somebody was a male and says had been a female, are they going to allow that person to be ordained? They get into really serious trouble here. But you wrote a marvelous letter to Pope Francis, and you said that we were taught that God created men and women of equal worth and dignity. As priests, we say the call to be a priest comes from God. As a young man serving in the military in Vietnam, I felt God was calling me to be a Catholic priest. I was accepted into the Marian Old Fathers. I met devout Catholic women who talked to me about calling to be priests. They were all rejected because of their gender. I really think Pope Francis is in a bad place because many of the cardinals have sent him what are called dubias, and that means they have questions to ask him about his theology. He has ignored them so far. But they are asking him questions now, questioning his theological views as Pope. And so now this seems to add to the problem, right?
Exactly. I think we have something in common with the politicians, Blaise, the priesthood. I noticed that doing a lot of reflecting over the last few years, when I broke my silence and called for, again, the ordination of women and how that poked the beehive of patriarchy. But doing a lot of reflection, I realize how seduced we are in very subtle ways, whether we're politicians or studying for the priesthood. We become addicted to what we call power. We don't even know it. And the first thing you know, we have sold out. We are afraid to lose that power, and we will say and do things, really, that's to protect our power, and we really forget about the others, you know, about justice and peace, equality. And this is what's going on. I mean, really, when I see our bishops, they have a lot in common with this crazy guy, Trump. And I think what we have to do is start breaking our silence.
It's because what I say is true. That's when you have power, what you say is the truth. It's not the truth, but you say it as if it were because you have the power to say it. Now, our alleged upcoming president is saying different things out of both sides of his mouth all day long. And when you're in a cult, you don't care what the cult leader says because you have given your power over to his power. And he can say anything he wants. Today he can say white, tomorrow he can say black, the next day he can say green. And what we have to deal with, you and I and all of people interested in peace, is the fruits. By their fruits you shall know them. We have this military spending now, conservatively, 54% of the budget, actually much more because so much of it is hidden in the energy departments and other departments that deal with a nuclear disaster. So here, where your treasure is, so your heart will be. Our heart is in killing. We are the largest killing entity on the face of the earth, and we are supposed to cover that over by some kind of false patriotism and babble that we're on the right side, that God is on our side. That's heresy, and it's also blasphemy. So we're dealing with this day by day, and church people frequently are trying to accommodate to it as if it's okay. I remember being at a mass recently, and they prayed for our troops, which is fine. And then I said, you know, for the children of Iraq, and there was a great silence, as though, well, we don't pray for them, do we? I mean, those are the bad children, aren't they? You know, we're really brainwashed. So
Liz, I want to say something. For many years, I spent those 4 years in prison, but I went to prison with many other people in our SOA Watch movement. I was one of over 350 who did time, but I've also have become a great believer in solitary witness. in the spirit of Franz Jagenstetter of Austria and others, we can talk about what they did. But what I have done recently, just alone, because it's hard to get friends to do this because of a busy schedule, I went to the Vatican Embassy in Washington, D.C. a number of times recently. I spend the day in front of the embassy holding a banner right on Massachusetts Avenue in front of Joe Biden's residence. The message was, Pope Francis ordain women. Got a great response from the people. And then more recently, I went to the U.S. Catholic Bishops Conference in Baltimore, and at their opening mass, I went to the mass, sat in the last pew in the back, where 300 bishops and cardinals were you know, there for the mass. And in the sermon, the homily, very silently, nonviolently, went up to the altar, kissed the altar, faced the 300 bishops and cardinals, and unfolded a banner that said, Catholic bishops, stop persecuting gays. Of course, I was approached and escorted out of the church. I only can say that I believe in solitary witness, nonviolent solitary actions, and invite people to think about this. You know, go on a street corner, go in a church, or write a letter, but do something with others and alone to make a statement in the name of peace and justice and equality. We can all, like Bishop Romero said, we can all do something and do it well.
Well, I was very happy about you and that banner. I noticed it was fairly well covered in the press. It said, your banner says, stop persecuting gays. And, of course, you can read how bad gays are in the Catholic Catechism. If you read through that book, there is so much work to be done. It's really a serious problem to read that huge book, the Catholic Catechism, referring to gays as disordered. And I think that, again, it's getting into medical problems and areas that are really not part and parcel of the work of the Church. There's an old saying, the heroes of the future are the heretics of today. So many people have been burned at the stake for doing the things that you have done. So you live at a little better time. I don't think you'll be burned at the stake yet. But your Father Roy is a hero of the future. Now you bring thousands to the Mexican border to support immigration. And we see the comments coming from Telesur, coming from all over Latin America, making it clear, this latest headline from Telesur, this Latin American news service, U.S. Border Patrol is killing thousands of migrants. That's their report. More deaths. And the Coalition of Human Rights explained how U.S. Border Patrol agents are operating around the borderland deserts using deadly apprehension methods to chase migrants into life-threatening terrain, where thousands have gone missing or died as a result. Now, you were down there at the border recently. What did you find?
Well, let me just say that for 25 years, thousands every November came to the main gate of Fort Benning to keep alive the memories of the thousands killed throughout Latin America, especially Central America, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras especially, being killed by SOA graduates. We've been here for 25 years. Every November, we decided to go to the U.S.-Mexico border, where a few thousand of us gathered in Nogales, Arizona,
yeah,
to express once again our solidarity. And the reason we went was exactly what you just talked about, the killing that's going on, being done in our name again, to our sisters and brothers, the migrants. We have gone to three different countries there, delegations more recently, heard the stories of the migrants. And we would be doing, Blaze, we would be doing what they are doing. If they do not leave, they and their children will die. And so, of course, they are leaving, trying to find life, trying to find a better way of life. And we understood that experience, in a sense, wanted to express some solidarity in a humble way, and went to the border. And we will go there again this coming year. and express our love and solidarity with our migrant sisters and brothers. That's connected to the SOA, of course. That's connected to U.S. economic and military policies there in these countries.
Well, Roy, don't you think that stockbrokers are very anxious to get jobs in the fields, picking strawberries? You know, we could do very well without the stockbrokers. We can't do without farm labor. We won't eat if we without farm labor. They deserve all the rights of labor instead of being put on the side, and we'll be trying to get more of them by way of some sort of bracero program where they come in almost in a quasi-military fashion, separated from their families, and then are frequently not paid at all. But, friends, I want you to know, Father Roy has offered us his book. This book is about his life, and it's called My Journey from Silence to Solidarity. And we're asking you to contribute $50 for that book by calling 818-985-5735, 818-985-5735. It's extremely important because it shows a spirituality that is extremely authentic and real, and that is also universal. Sectarianism, saying we know everything about God, is a lot of nonsense. We know little or nothing about God, and our reverence is marked by how much we stand before the mystery in awe, rather than telling people, I know all about it, you're wrong, I'm right, you believe the sun is God, I don't, you're going to hell. This nonsense of dogmatism has to stop, and we have to get down to realizing that our compassion and love for one another is what it's all about. And that's what Roy and so many others in his church and in many churches and in no churches are promoting. So we ask you to call 818-985-5735 to get this book. The Catholic priest for 40 years was expelled from the priesthood, My Journey from Silence to Solidarity. And so often the message of institutions, and I've heard it myself, is shut up. I was given a gag order by the church in the same way. Don't write about it. Don't talk about it. Well, it was necessary to write and to talk about it, period. And Roy has found the same thing. 818-985-5735, My Journey from Silence to Solidarity. Now, that border, you know, Roy, no one has been able to prove in a military, not just military, but I would say even more so, in an academic fashion, that immigration has cost us one penny. These people have been a stimulus to the economy of the United States. They have not cost us anything. We have taken their labor, which oftentimes is very skilled. Just try picking grapes. You don't know how. You couldn't do it. You couldn't stand out there in 110-degree sun for the first place. You can't last longer than a professional athlete. You're pretty well shot after 10 years of doing this. Tell me that people are going to take those jobs. Well, they haven't shown any sign of wanting them. These are very brave, very strong, very skilled people who are very underpaid and has stimulated the economy of the United States. And any claim by any Trump or anyone else that they are a drain on our economy is absolutely false. I have not seen one university study yet that indicated that immigration has cost us a cent. Far from it. We've had terrible immigration laws historically. We didn't want the so-called Orientals. They weren't allowed in the country. Even in Europe, they didn't want us Italians. They would let more in from Northern Europe, and they certainly didn't want us Italians because we're really dangerous. So it's been a horrible history of immigration, but the immigrants have made this country, have made it what it is, and terribly sad that it was taken from our indigenous brothers, and here we are in the midst of one of the great indigenous actions in our entire history. going on. The veterans are out there. People are out there from all over in support of our indigenous people. This is a great victory and a great repentance for some of our actions in the genocide.
You said very well, Mark. I just want to say, I want to put in a plug for, I mean, I'm just amazed at the lack of compassion for others. I don't know, as an activist, I think it's important for us to, everyone, to step back, spend a little alone time, especially in the beauty of nature, and remind ourselves as we look at, just nature, the vastness, the mystery of it all, that we do not choose where we are born. We don't choose our race, our gender, or sexual orientation. And I'm just amazed at the lack of compassion, the cruelty toward others, that somehow we are responsible for where we are born or our gender, sexual orientation, race. I mean, I think what's important is for us to just also, along with activism, to try and spend some time in solitude and contemplation and realize it's all about love. And what
if they do that, Roy, they will understand that the people who are victims of learning to hate Islam are the brothers and sisters spiritually of those who were taught to hate the Jewish people in the 30s. It's the same line of garbage. It's the same line of lies. It's the same line of racism. And it's going on right now, and people are falling into it because they are afraid. They're afraid of themselves. They're afraid of life. They're afraid of everything. And that's why my son wrote that that theme song, Fear, Fearing Fear. So you don't have to be afraid of Islam. You have to be afraid of ignorance. You have to be afraid of racism. You have to be afraid of creating scapegoats that are not guilty. You have to be afraid of thinking that people coming from other countries are a threat. They're not a threat. They've built everything decent that we have. And this has gone on for a long time. We have the ways out, and we're going to use them because it's time to use protests more than ever. We have to do that. We can't allow things to just deteriorate and get worse day by day. We have heroes from the past. We have the great Joe Hill, who told us, don't mourn, organize. And then in his organization, he made it clear the power of the workers. He said, if the workers take a notion, they can stop all speeding trains, every ship upon the ocean, they can tie with mighty chains, every wheel in the creation, every mine and every mill, fleets of and armies of the nation will at their command stand still. Joe Hill, who was given his choice by the blessed government of Utah, would you like to be hung or would you like to be shot? He has a voice for us today. Oh. We have to protest. And hundreds of thousands of people have been in the streets since this horrible thing that was called an election, where the loser got 2.5 million more votes than the so-called winner, who is now fighting with the CIA. Oh, God. Really, there is so much that would be so funny if it wasn't so tragic.
I think it's important to remind ourselves and others that silence is complicity. Silence,
yeah, absolutely,
is consent. And I think that really now is the moment more than ever for us to break our silence. Because if we remain silent, we bless those decisions that are being made by this so-called new president, by our so-called leaders, and we buy into this big lie. We become, I remember reading the book, People of the Lie, and that's what we've been bought in. You know, really, we're getting carried into the lie once again, and I think it's very, very important to remind ourselves and others, silence, when there is an injustice, silence is complicity.
It's a wonderful book also by David Swanson called War is a Lie. he spells out how war starts with one set of lies. War continues with a second set of lies, and wars are ended by a third set of lies. So it is, we have to use the word that war is evil. I'm talking about aggressive war. That is the greatest crime internationally, which we have been guilty of every year since the end of World War II, and 30 million people have died. It's so amazing to me when people talk about, you know, the deaths in the Cuban Revolution. Well, we count 30 million people dead between 1945 and the present by virtue of unnecessary, illegal, immoral, and aggressive wars. There's only one word for this, and the word is evil. And that's where evil is. Instead of blaming women that are trying to deal with their own psychological problems, their own mental problems, trying to tell them what to do, we are calling this patriotism as we become the greatest killing force in the history of the world. Now let's stop the charade. That's what it's about. And I think you've done a good job of that, Roy. We want people to call 818-985-5735 and to get Roy's new book, Father Roy Bourgeois, My Journey from Silence to Solidarity. I just want
to put in a plug also just to join your voice with others. I mean, really, I've been connected to KPFK for years. I remember when we first started getting, you know, really organized in here with a small group of people and trying to build a movement that was going to call for the closing of the School of the Americas. When early on we were being interviewed and, you know, breaking down that wall of ignorance. And I will never forget the solidarity that KPFK gave to us and helped, you know, educate so many people and energize and empower others. And I just don't know what to say other than I just really invite the listeners to do all you can to give to the important work of KPFK and all your program and all the other programs that really are all about truth and really empowering people, especially at this critical time.
It is a critical time, and the alleged president is a personification of corporate capital, a walking personification. He represents advertising. Advertising is a method of taking your worst points and putting them forward as if they were your best points. That's what the study of advertising is about. If a truck doesn't last long, you advertise it as lasting longer. That's it. Or you say that something's healthy, which is very unhealthy. I can remember reading more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. that's advertising. So I want to offer as well showing a problem with religion about Christendom and war and how the creed was used to kill people in the many centuries of Inquisition, the centuries of Crusades, the centuries of conquistadores, and to show how similar it is to what ISIS is doing today, and to show the reverence and critique at the same time. The reverence for those who realize there is something great out there, there is something divine, and something very real. And with the reverence goes the critique of those who use religion as a cloak for malice. St. Paul talked about that. He was very concerned about it, and it's been a problem ever since. He referred to governments as in diabolical terms.
I remember so well when you're talking about brought back memories of Cardinal Spellman, New York City.
God.
He came to Vietnam when I was there in the killing fields. He came to bless us and our tanks and our M16s. And back, it was just the beginning of an awakening in me. But I have to tell you, years later, when I was in the seminary at the Maryknoll Seminary there in Austin, New York, I returned home for a visit, and there on the wall was that photograph of me and Cardinal Spellman. I took the photograph and I threw it away.
Well, wonderful, because he came to us in 1958. We had one of the largest ordination classes in Mary Knoll history, and he ordained us. He was my ordaining prelate, and he was also military vicar of the United States. And I think he believed that every alleged communist in the world should be killed, and that was his problem. But and it is not unusual. That has been a role of the church. It's been so sad. I mean, who did they side with during the Spanish Civil War? They sided with Franco. Many sided with Pinochet Ugarte in Chile. We saw this again and again throughout the world. Mussolini, who said, well, fascism, I call it corporate government. That's the definition of fascism. It's corporate governments, and that's what we're going into. So, you know, we'll have church people come out and try to bless this. I saw the cardinal in Guatemala blessing the military as well, one of the most vicious groups of torturers that ever existed. And there he was, blessing them. And he even said, I will either become a priest or a member of the military. And that those who are opposing this government are communists and antichrists. And he was referring to us, which is a way of saying eliminate them.
Blaise Bonpane.
Yes.
And Father Bourgeois, this is Alan Minsky at KPFK with a brief fundraising update, because I want to have you guys continue your conversation. The phones were just ringing off the hook, but right now there are phones open. So if you had trouble getting through a few moments ago, call back at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Father Bourgeois' book is available for a $50 pledge at 818-985-5735. You can also pick up Blaise Bonpane's trilogy and get them all together and support World Focus. But for a $50 pledge, Father Bourgeois' book, there goes a call coming in right now. There are about two lines open at 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK, and most importantly, keep the phone calls coming to keep shows like this on the air. We need them now more than ever, as we are in a frightening and uncertain time again in the United States of America. 818.
Alan, I couldn't say one word I've said this morning on commercial media.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much censorship there is. It's commercial censorship. Each word is considered. I have listened to meetings of anchor people when they were asked, how is it that they are so limited? And the response of one of the national anchors was, quote, we know how to play the game, unquote. They know exactly what they can and can't say. They don't say much about nuclear warfare because they're sponsored by nuclear warfare. So we have a slight problem here, right?
You know, I had a friend recently, Blaise, who was involved with somebody's press junket through the American national news media. They were working alongside a very radical figure who happened to receive a lot of press in the news. And they would go in literally into the studios and talk with the hosts, all the people we know from all the national media. And they would talk with them and they would be sympathetic to their case. The camera would go on and they would become completely different people. And as people say now about this new generation of, say, the people on MSNBC, CNN, Fox, they're actors. They are no longer even remotely journalists, and so they're actors, and they say their lines, and their lines are such that they can never say anything like what you are talking about on air right now, which is what the society needs.
Not permitted during our march through Central America. The press was with us all the way: CNN, NBC, CBS, all of them. Not one word was released in the United States. They were gathering the intelligence. That's basically what they were doing. They were with us day after day. They were taking pictures of everything. And then we asked, well, did anything come through on the news? The answer was no. I guess they gave it all to the agencies, and that was it. So this is what we're dealing with. We have a highly censored situation, and people that are really movers and shakers and making history, like Father Roy, are frequently put on the margin. They shouldn't be on the margin at all. They're in the forefront of history. And we're just very happy to have Roy with us today. And I want to mention that among the three books I have is a commentary on the wonderful encyclical of Pope Francis. We try to give credit where credit is due. The Care of Our Common Home, I did a commentary on that, and then the book on Christendom and War, showing this long fight for religion that was military rather than spiritual, and then the autobiography, Imagine No Religion, which I guess is stolen from John Lennon. I'm sorry.
And a perfect complement to Father Bourgeois' book, so I really would encourage people to support World Focus, support KPFK, pick up Father Bourgeois' book plus Blaise Bompain's trilogy at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. There are still phone lines open, as opposed to earlier when they were all filled up, so call 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We have $520 to go to reach our goal for the hour, 818-985-5735. And why don't you guys pick it back up? I know people want to hear you guys talk, and let's do that while people call in, pledge support, support World Focus and KPFK at 818-985-5735.
Wonderful. Much appreciated. And Roy, do you care to make any comments about the appointments recently made? I guess I actually don't even know why we talk about it, because
I think we all know the situation, how serious it is, how important your work there at KPFK is about. It's all about getting the truth out and really also empowering others and ourselves. Just a little footnote. I want to just, I'm always looking at little signs of hope here. We've been at this for 25 years, you know, trying to shut down this school of assassins, as it's well known in Latin America. But going to these different countries, we've been to 20 different countries where we met with different presidents, defense ministers, university leaders, union leaders, and we had a request. We told them about our movement here. Thousands of people, hundreds who have gone to prison in solidarity with these, you know, with the poor, the oppressed of Latin America, to help us close the school. And I'm happy to say and to report, Blaise, that five countries have withdrawn from the school, pulled their soldiers out. Those countries being Argentina, Venezuela, Ecuador, where we met with President Correa, Nicaragua, where we met with President Daniel Ortega, in Bolivia. Going back to Bolivia after being kicked out, going back was a special joy, where we met with President Evo Morales, and he said it very well, we're pulling the soldiers out. This School of the Americas, he said, should never have existed. It brought untold suffering and death.
You know, there's this great renaissance going on in Latin America, and to watch our country try to destroy it. Just think, people don't know how much power we have to kill an economy. Reagan said in regard to Pinochet, you know, before he came in, when Allende was president, he said, make the economy scream. He knew we could make the economy scream in any country. We did the same thing in Cuba for over a half century, trying to starve them out, making it impossible for them to get a Band-Aid from the United States, and then asking them why they couldn't get their act together, as they have health care, and we don't have health care, as they have for education for free, and we don't. A poor country, very poor country, delivering health care, education, housing, and here we are blabbing away at how terrible they are when on their property we have a torture center called Guantanamo, and we have been responsible for so much of the pain that has existed there. And now today with Venezuela, once again, we're trying to make the economy scream. And if that doesn't work, we'll bomb them. And what are we trying to do? Stop the forward motion of a renaissance in Latin America that is probably the most exciting thing going on in the world. And here we have one honest woman in Brazil, according to some people, the only honest woman, and they threw her out of office. This is absolutely unacceptable. And you think we're not behind this kind of thing? We've been behind this since 1823, when President Monroe came out and said, this area is no longer open for colonization. And he was speaking to everybody else, saying, stay out of the Americas and we'll stay in. And so since that time, we've been going on. Here are the people wanting to have Spanish speakers thrown out of this country, have forgotten that we had a war with Mexico in 1846. Abraham Lincoln opposed it. General Grant, the former, the upcoming General Grant, opposed it. The man who became General Lee opposed it. They thought it was a horrible idea to invade Mexico. And Lincoln almost didn't get elected because he was a peacenik. This has gone on for years, the glorification of war in the name of false patriotism. Anyone who's really a patriot would be like Benjamin Franklin, who would say there's no such thing as a good war or a bad peace. So here we are in the midst of it. 818-985-5735. Give us a call. We've got some books for you.
Blaze, I know we were getting short on time. I just want to make a plug for this all-important word that I learned in the slums of Bolivia, solidarity. You still
Amen.
There?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Solidaridad. When the poor in the slum of Bolivia really taught me what it was all about. Basically, solidarity is all about making the struggle, they said, of others your struggle. That struggle for peace, justice, and equality. And trying to live out that word got me arrested. I was lucky I had the passport, U.S. passport. I was kicked out of the country. Many were tortured, quite a few killed. Many had to flee for their lives. But when I came back to the U.S., I really wanted to have been trying over the years to live out that word, solidarity. And all I can say is right now, our struggle is connected to the struggle of others. Their struggle is our struggle. And I got to remember one thing, too, that the struggle is not going to be easy. It's going to really be challenging, especially with this so-called new president. And we're going to have a lot of work ahead of us. It's going to be difficult times, but we can never forget that our struggle, again, is connected to the struggle of others.
Well, we learned that, Roy, in the Americas with all of the constant flow of people from this country into the war zones of Central America for over two decades. And we have learned that the Veterans for Peace, this marvelous organization, are up there with the indigenous people, Standing Rock, and they have learned solidarity. And they have been such an example because they are not against this war or that war. Veterans for Peace, one of the great veterans organizations in the United States, is opposed to all war, realizing that wars are evil. They should not be fought. We have to live together. As Ray Bradbury said in his science fiction, he was commenting, he said, we live on a rock in the universe. We should be holding hands. And nationalism has nothing to do with it. People who go on and on about the xenophobic nationalism are really sick. We have no ability to cure the problems of the world alone. We can only make them worse. We will solve the problems of the environment together with 200 other nations, or they won't be solved at all. We'll have justice in 200 nations, or we won't have any. This idea of one country being the number one and the others being some kind of serfs is so outdated, so ignorant, and so false, it cannot stand. So that's where we're at today with a hugely nationalistic upcoming administration, which I think would be better for them if they just weren't born, if they just went back to their old ways and we found somebody else to take their place.
818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Father Bourgeois' book, My Journey from Silence to Solidarity, available for just a $50 pledge to KPFK. 818-985-5735. And again, most importantly, now is the time to step up, support KPFK so that dialogues like the one you've heard over the past hour can continue over the airwaves of Southern California and be made available to the world through the internet. 818-985-5735, because if they're not done by KPFK right now, they're not being done by anyone else. So the way that we continue these kind of dialogues is to have this station be supported so that all of this apparatus can continue producing media unlike anything else and unlike anything else, because this is what's needed and available no other place. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Pledge for the $50 pledge for the book My Journey by Father Bourgeois, $150 for the trilogy by Blaise Bompain. Get them all together for a $200 pledge to KPFK and World Focus. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We only have about a minute left, Blaise Bompain. Your final thoughts, maybe a final word from Father Bourgeois. Thank you so much for joining us on air here on KPFK, Father Bourgeois. And please pick up his new book, My Journey, From Silence to Solidarity.
Thank you, Alan. And Father Roy, I'd really like you to close out this gathering. And it's been so great talking to you. You're a friend of so many decades and so many campaigns and so much solidarity. It's wonderful to be in touch again.
Always a joy to be with you, you know, Blaise. Also, I just want in closing, again, it's been an honor to be a part of KPFK's work over the years, and I just would encourage our listeners, really, to do all you can to support the important work that that you're doing. This is these are very important times, and just do what you can. We can all do something and do it well. And I just want to say muchas gracias to KPFK, to you, Blaise, and everyone on the team there.
Thanks so much, Roy. I want to thank my engineer, Ricky Herrera. World Focus is produced by the Office of the Americas. You can download World Focus at officeoftheamericas.org, where both audio and text copies are available. And you can contact us at OOA@ICC.org with a fond hope that we all may be agents of justice.
There's a siren screaming in
my everyone. Stay tuned for Ian Masters and Background Briefing. This is Blaise
Bompain. When the pushing from the rear is fear, fearing fear, fearing fear.
It's the KPFK Fun Drive, and we would appreciate your help on both sides of the phone, pledging and answering the phones. Call 818-985-2711 for information, or just come on down to the KPFK studios at 3729 Cahuenga Boulevard West in beautiful North Hollywood, right off the 101 freeway and across from the Red Line Universal Studio stop. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, asking you to support KPFK. One of the best ways you can do it is simply by becoming a sustainer, pledging $10 or more each month. In that way, you help to protect this independent radio station. Sign up today. Your support means so much.
And thanks, Amy. I'm Brad Friedman of KPFK's The Bradcast. We're asking all members to go to kpfk.org and click on the banner that reads Pledge Support. Your donations are what keep this listener-powered radio station on the air.
This is Ed Asner. You're listening to Pacifica Radio KPFK 90.